Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 150 of the war in Israel. I'm joined by James Valiant. How's it going, James?
I'm okay. How about you, Razi?
I'm good. I just found out that apparently the United States has a vice president. Did you know that? That is actually confirmed, verified by independent fact checkers. I thought the role had been discontinued for inefficiency because we know how they love efficiency in government. But apparently, due to the great success of previous vice presidents, there is such a role now, and there's a person in that role. Kamala Harris, it says it here in my notes, is her name. And she now, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the US. There have been, you know, in during President Biden's time. And now she found one that she can really take a principled position on, and that 5 months after Israel was attacked by savages in the most horrific ways imaginable, she can now take the position of Israel needs to stop attempting to prevent future attacks. So James, you not only live in the U.S., so she is your vice president, even if you want to tweet, not hashtag not my vice president, she is your vice president. And
technically speaking, she is.
Yeah, but you actually, you're more familiar with her than even the people who are, you know, closely following the vice presidency as a hobby. So do you want to... I want to tell us a bit about why that is and what you can tell us.
In our system of government here in the United States, the office of the vice president is typically one of the most boring jobs you could possibly have. You're basically just waiting to fill in case something happens to the president. And very frequently, they are, in our history, they have been do-nothing, yawning. People have forgotten most of the names of our vice presidents, unless they went on to become president. Most Americans don't even know the names of most of the vice presidents. The job is often, and it really, it's the president who gives the portfolio to the vice president. He can utilize the vice president, and more. Some vice presidents have been utilized more than others. But you're right, this gal, boy, she is not taking a print. This is a classic example. Her speech calling for a 6-week immediate ceasefire and both sides to agree to this so that there is no attack on Rafah, which is what apparently the forces of evil are insisting on happening. You remember last week, Biden had said, I want the ceasefire by Monday. That's today. He wanted it to stop by today, realizing that's not going to happen. They're asking for an immediate ceasefire. But of course, Hamas would have to agree to release a list of the hostages who are still alive and their conditions. That's one of the things Israel is insisting upon. And so she calls upon Hamas to release this list, the list, not the hostages, the list, not the hostages. I mean, can you imagine a ceasefire without the hostages being released? I mean, it's insanity, much less letting the leadership of Hamas escape from Rafah. In any event, that is what she wants. It's a classic example of what Ayn Rand, and I urge everyone who hasn't read the article by Ayn Rand, The Cult of Moral Grayness. It is, in fact, not a principled position. It is the kind of unprincipled, morally gray position that Ayn Rand exactly articulates in her article, The Cult of Moral Grayness, which you can find in The Virtue of Selfishness. And it describes the psychology of Vice President Harris perfectly on this matter. She wants to have her moral cake and eat it too, because after all, there's moral equivalence on both sides. No one's perfect here. Israel is not perfect. Hamas isn't perfect. We need to find some middle of the road compromise, even though there is total blackness revealed on October 7th, even though it is total whiteness to wipe out the Hamas leadership in Rafah. She cannot have a morally clear position on this, because after all, there are suffering children in Gaza. Now, this is a strange thing for her, I grant you. She's normally famous for being assigned a project like the border and then doing nothing about it, or delivering her famous word salads. The woman, although she's a trained lawyer, she is famous for saying a lot of words that have zero meaning. Just to give a little background on her, I was a California prosecutor for almost 18 years. She was a California prosecutor, a deputy DA in San Francisco for several years. She then went on to be the elected DA San Francisco through some political favoritism, and then the Attorney General of California for a while before she became senator, and then quickly became the vice president for Biden. As prosecutor, she was a, I can tell you, as a California prosecutor, she stood for everything evil. She went after, when marijuana was still illegal, she went after low-level, small pot offenders. She went after economic crimes. She went after parents, even parents of handicapped kids who weren't putting their kids into public schools under the compulsory education law. And when it came to serious cases like murder cases, she defended corrupt cops who were lying. She hid evidence from the defense. She is every, let me put it this way. She's everything as a prosecutor that I despise as a prosecutor. She had a very poor reputation as a California prosecutor. She's also had a very poor reputation as an articulate defender of the Biden administration. So this speech that she gave on Hamas is actually the clearest speech I've heard from her as vice president. And maybe it's because of the politics. You know, by after tomorrow, Super Tuesday, the you know, half the states will have voted for their party candidates. We will basically have Biden and Trump in, I think it's a safe bet to say, as their party's nominee. While people are beginning to realize that Biden is not such a strong character, the New York Times released a poll today showing him 5 points behind Trump. And so they could be putting forth Kamala Harris here for very political reasons. But also the Michigan thing is important, it seems to me. Rashida Tlaib, our favorite congresswoman, as you know, Rashida Tlaib called upon Muslims in Michigan, where there's the most concentrated Muslim vote in America, to vote non-committed rather than vote for Biden in the Democratic primary in Michigan. 100,000 Muslims voted non-committed, non-committed. Biden only got 600,000 votes total in Michigan. That tells you something. Hillary lost to Trump in Michigan by only a few thousand votes. Biden, even with the exaggerated turnout because of COVID, you know, it was probably twice the turnout we should expect because everyone got ballots and we made sure everyone voted, got only one over Trump by 150,000 votes. That 100,000 votes that voted non-committed, should they stay home in November, could give Trump Michigan. Trump is already a little ahead in general in Michigan, according to most of the polls. So I think it's a perfectly political move on their part. They had to get out there. They had to somehow appease, throw a bone to the Hamas wing, like Rashida Tlaib and the extreme Muslims who live in Michigan. And so that's what they had to do. So she had to walk this moral tightrope for political purposes, which defines the cult of moral grayness, which defines morally unprincipled position. Both sides have got a little good, both sides have got a little bad, both sides have got an argument. So what we need is an immediate ceasefire, no attack on Rafah. We need Israel has to step up on the humanitarian aid, she insists. But of course, she asks Hamas to release that list of hostages as Israel requests. Now, talk about a disgusting, unprincipled. As Ayn Rand says, when it's unprincipled in that way, it's pure black. When someone is playing the game on purpose on the cult of moral grayness, this is, go read that article by Ayn Rand. This is an exact description of what Kamala Harris was doing. She was a high priestess of the cult of moral grayness in this speech, taking an unprincipled stand, in effect defending October 7th from the absolute black that it was, defending Hamas leadership from the absolute black that they are, in the name of this, well, you know, no one's perfect, both sides have an argument kind of moral ambiguity, which she's doing, I think, for purely political reasons.
Yeah, and you mentioned Michigan. Michigan, this is a close election overall. So, Michigan, that could matter. That could matter a lot. That could make the difference. I want to, before we get back to the topic, thank our super chatters. Thank you, Wes Stewart. Thank you, Akira. I will get back to your question in a second. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you all. Tomorrow is Super Tuesday, also on the Ayn Rand Center UK, because the Daily Objective will be our show will be episode 1000 of that show. And in celebration of
Congratulations,
that,
Rozzy. Just
thanks, James.
congratulations for that. What
And
an achievement.
in celebration of that, that episode is going to be sponsored by our friends Silver Rose Bakery in Phoenix, Arizona. And Silver Rose Bakery is doing a $1,000 super chat match. So if we get to $1,000, they will match it and contribute another $1,000 We need
My
to get
God.
to 1,000 in order to do that. If we
But
get to
everybody, tune
999,
in
that
tomorrow and
would
contribute.
tune
Super
in,
chat tomorrow.
contribute. Yeah,
Do,
tomorrow.
tomorrow is the day to tune in and super chat.
Yeah, I
My
mean, every day is the day to tune in and super chat, but tomorrow your super
God.
chat will be
Yes,
doubled,
sir.
actually more than doubled, because YouTube will not take a cut of the Silver Rose Bakery matching contribution. So I encourage people to do that. Akira, let me get to your question now. Do you think Israel will get the hostages back? I have to say, I think for the most part, no. I think they'll might get some of the hostages back. Again, there were these, there were, I think, two incidents of Israel actually releasing hostages with military action, which is almost hard to imagine because of how united the Palestinian people are around their cause, and how important they know it is to their vile cause to keep the hostages as bargaining chips. And somehow hostages were released. Maybe more will be released. Of course, you need to have a ground operation in Rafah to do that, where most, probably the vast majority of hostages are. It is possible that there will be a deal. We're going to talk about that on the reality show. It's possible that there will be a deal. Israel likes negotiating with terrorists, so it's possible that they'll get something. Of course, the cost of that will be enormous, and we'll see,
It will mean
when
future
that happens.
hostages. They're not going to release the hostage. What they're talking about here is releasing a list of the hostages and their condition.
Yeah, I mean,
That's what they're negotiating over. That's disgusting. And Hamas won't release their major bargaining chip here.
so if there is, that's the thing, we're talking about a 6-week ceasefire. Of course, there will not be a 6-week ceasefire with no hostages released. But if that does, I mean, I don't think even Netanyahu would do that. But even
God,
if that
help
is
me.
done, they will not release all of them. They'll release some of them. They'll hold on to enough of them to make sure that, as they promised, October 7th will happen again and again until Israel is annihilated. Hamas, is acting in a principled way, unlike, unfortunately, the West. And to that point about the West not acting in a principled way, we talked about it yesterday when we talked about yesterday, the day before, we talked about the propaganda machine and how it operated around what they're now calling the Flower Massacre, which is the stampede where Palestinians trampled each other, and then some of them charged at IDF soldiers who defended themselves. Some people died. We don't know how many. We know it wasn't 112. It was much less, because 112 is the number reported by Hamas. And we know Hamas always exaggerates numbers, sometimes by orders of magnitude. But we
What I
spoke
could
about
see from those
how.
aerial shots, though, it was a violent swarming. I mean, the
Yeah.
whole reason why we're airlifting this stuff is because there are these violent swarms, and Hamas steals the material.
Yeah, but
Hamas is
it.
preventing the aid from getting there. So
Yeah,
if
no.
starving people charge and get mostly are being stampeded and stomped on, that's what's causing the injuries and death.
Yeah,
But
but the
if
world, the
IDF
way the
soldiers are
world. So I was going to say, on the propaganda aspect of it, the way the world, much of the Western world, the Western media decides to report it, they will report it as Hamas, basically, read out a press release by Hamas. But the unprincipled Western approach here, the way that manifests itself is policies change on a daily basis based on the latest headline, which is why Israel had the sympathy of the world on October 7th and on October 8th, although there were already celebrations in the streets of London and other cities by people who loved the fact that Jews were raped en masse, mutilated, murdered. That was a thing to celebrate for those who hide it less well than others. But the fact that policy changes, that is something to scare us. Really, it should be terrifying to us, not just in the context of this war. If the latest headline changes policy from Israel has the right to defend itself, as that unfortunate saying goes, and as Western leaders said at the beginning, Israel should destroy Hamas, to the point where now the West is demanding that Israel does not destroy Hamas's capability to repeat October 7th. And we talked, this is what we talked about yesterday, the European Commission changing its policy and deciding to fund UNRWA again, knowing that UNRWA participated, not just educated the terrorists, but participated in the attacks, because of the so-called Flower Massacre, which again we know is pure propaganda. So this is how policy in the West works. The latest headline will determine what politicians do, and the one thing we can be sure of is they're always wrong. Even when they're right, they're wrong because they're not coming at it from a principled approach, understanding that this is the right thing to do, and that means that is all fickle and will change the following day.
My European friends in the EU, I want you to think about this. You are paying money through your tax dollars for perpetrators of October 7th, for people who made October 7th possible. Yeah, add to it the perpetuating of the education, the mystical racist hatred that is taught at UNRWA schools. Europe, you should be ashamed of yourself. Ashamed of yourself. For materially supporting October 7th, encouraging more. It's
Don't worry,
disgusting.
James. American money will also make its way to UNRWA. I think they're going to take their time a bit more. But we said this when the UNRWA scandal happened. By the way, for those of you who have been watching for a couple of months, we were talking about UNRWA before it was cool. But when the UNRWA scandal happened, we were saying it's very good that some countries are freezing their support, but it's freezing their support. It's not ending it, and we knew it was temporary. And of course, now we see that that lasted a whole month. You know, that's long for policy nowadays, a whole month.
It's disgusting, though. I mean, and again, talk about the cult of moral grayness actually feeding the black here. See, if there's no moral clarity here, if there's no one who's perfect, if there's good and bad on both sides, if there's really no moral clarity that comes about from even October 7th could not give them the ability to think in clear principles. Well, gosh, this is pure black, pure evil. No. It's still gray after October 7th. Consider that mentality. And now, because of that position, that principled, unprincipled position called the cult of moral grayness, they're actually feeding and supporting evil monsters, people who did October 7th.
By the way, Ideology says in the chat, the UN needs to redefine the term refugee. I'm not sure the term refugee as such is that problematic. I don't remember the UN's exact definition. What's problematic is how the term refugee has two meanings. It has its own meaning, you know, as in what a refugee is. And then there's Palestinian refugee, which is a completely different thing. It's not somebody who actually, you know, had to escape a war zone. It's somebody who is somehow connected, you know, the son or grandson, or even
The
if they have a
great-grandson,
home
someone
and a,
living
yeah.
perfect, someone raised in a perfectly safe place, born and raised their whole life, or people who actually stayed in the area. They're all refugees. No, the UN has a special, and I would have to say, racist definition of what a refugee is just for the Palestinians. Now, it's not pro-Palestinian. Well, there was no ethnicity Palestinian until well into the 20th century, but it's not so much pro-Palestinian as it's anti-Semitic, anti-Jew. So we have a special definition for the enemies of Israel for being a hostage from the UN. Oh yeah, their
Yeah,
normal definition would not include the millions that are called Palestinian refugees
and
today.
to Ideology's point, I would say I don't even want the UN to change anything. What I want, I have no hope for them. What I want is the
Right.
US to say, I want Kamala Harris to say, instead of saying Israel, you know, Israel has a right to defend itself like a day or so after it's attacked by animals. But then a few months later, it should back off and wait until the next time it happens, and then maybe, you know, defend itself a bit more. No, how about you say, we are gonna side with the civilized people in a sea of savagery, and also we are not gonna side with the UN, which is comprised mostly of dictators, you know, with one vote for every country, as if it's some sort of democracy. Not that that's something to celebrate. So yeah, what I'd like in the context of the UN, what I would like to see is the US, instead of focusing on saving Hamas, saving itself, not even Israel itself, from the UN, kick them out, save your money. Oh, I have to tell you. And yeah, this will be brief because I think this might be its own episode, but I recently saw there's some sort of movement on the pro-Palestinian side to kick the US out of the UN. I would love for
Love
that
that.
movie
Kick
to be
us out.
successful.
Oh gosh, yes. If there was only some way to kick the United States out, I would be on that side. I would join the ad hoc committee of America haters to kick America out of the UN. I mean, America is the biggest funder of the UN. We host their international meetings in New York City. We are morally responsible for the immorality that is the United Nations. We should never have been involved in an organization that included Soviet Russia, one of the bloodiest butchers in human history, on the Security Council. If they want to kick us out, I will lead the parade to kick us out. And I hope that involves putting the UN building in Manhattan up for sale and ending all US funding for U the United Nations and any of its subsidiary organizations.
Yeah,
Yes.
I should say it'll probably involve the UN building in Manhattan being declared occupied UN territory. The people, anybody who has ever worked there, being a refugee, and full justification for the most horrific acts to be
Yeah.
perpetrated against
And
America
all they
by
are, I'm going to say it for the thousandth time, the United Nations is nothing but a racket for protecting dictatorships and terrorists. They demonstrated again and again, and most eloquently and disgustingly on this issue, Israel. They hate Israel. They want Israel destroyed as a group. As a group, yeah, there are people with, like the United States, who have different opinions, but the majority of the countries there, the healthy majority, if you will, the unhealthy, pathological majority, I should say, there wants Israel wiped out. There's no other way of looking at it. And what America and Israel are even doing in the United Nations is beyond me.
Yeah, and I think it's over two-thirds. I'm not sure, but I think it is. What I know is over two-thirds is we're over two-thirds of this show, over two-thirds of the way through it. And I remember, I think this was the last time we did an episode about Kamala Harris. Yeah, she hasn't been mentioned on the channel. I was just joking at the beginning, half joking. Was when Rucka and I did an episode, it's like a recap of the vice presidential debate between Kamala Harris and who's the other guy, Mike Pence.
Like Pence, yeah.
And that was not one of the better episodes of this show, because Rucka and I both came in. That's Daniel mentioned that is episode 89 of the Daily Objective. This is episode 999, so it's been a while. But I think both of us came at it a bit emotionally. I was upset about her cackling more than I couldn't focus on her actual content. I was upset by Rucka not being upset. So it's entertaining in its own way. Not sure it fully tells you what happened in the debate. So that's a very long way of saying, in order to avoid that, and since I am not closely following the work of Kamala Harris, James, do you want to? You've already given us a lot of context about her, but anything else you want to tell us? It may be
Oh.
something in her defense.
Well, no, I will never speak a word of defense in favor of that thing called our vice president. But it's important to realize that we're going to be living in the future. And it's the future, tomorrow is going to be important. And it's important that tomorrow is important. And it's tomorrow is the future. And so it's important that we consider the future that we're. That's the kind of word salad that spews from this lady. She is epistemologically damaged. She is not someone I would feel comfortable with. I mean, people are talking about, how the age of Biden, even the age of Trump, and are they too old? Kamala Harris doesn't have the age problem, but she has a psycho-epistemological problem that makes her, at least in my view, as mentally warped as those old guys facing mental challenges as they reach their 80s.
By the way, when I was in the US on my recent trip, I was watching the Daily Show with Jon Stewart, the first episode he came back. Yeah, I watch left-wing stuff, people. It's good for you.
I
It's
do
good. It's good
too.
to know. It's good to know what they think. And he was actually going after the Democrats for choosing Biden. It's very weird. Yeah, you have these two kind of borderline senile men running for president. One has like a tremendous enthusiastic fan base. I don't know why, but for all the wrong reasons. The other has a reluctant fan base, mostly because they're scared of the other guy. And so Jon
Absolutely.
Stewart, criticizes the Democrats, and then he shows this clip of different people around Biden saying that he's sharp, and Kamala Harris was one of those, and she said like he's sharp in
Oh,
meetings
you
and
don't
stuff.
know
They
how
all say
sharp.
he's sharp in meetings, and John
Behind
Stewart,
closed doors,
yeah, and
none
John
of the
Stewart,
American people get to see him.
yeah,
Behind closed doors, he's
John
Albert
Stewart,
Einstein, don't you know?
yeah.
But all the rest of us see it. He can barely articulate. You know,
That's
he can
so
hardly
that.
get through a single
John
event.
Stewart beautifully put it and asked, "Has anybody did anybody film that? And can you
Film
share that
that.
video? Because that would help the case for Biden if you could actually see him not confusing the president of Egypt and Mexico. Of course, Trump did the same yesterday, right? I don't remember. I'm also maybe getting old, but I don't he confused I think leaders of two different countries."
Yeah, Trump has made some mistakes. Gosh knows I've made mistakes on these broadcasts on this show. I've misspoken more than once. Thank you. People can do that. But, you know, I think the real acid test there will be the debates. And I'm not sure how Biden avoids debating, but he's probably going to do everything he can to avoid debating Donald Trump because of just that appearance issue. I'm not sure Biden can survive a debate. He's that far. And let's face it, in America, just to look at American politics a little bit, Biden ain't going to get any sharper in the head, and grocery prices aren't going to actually come down and stuff like that. Biden does face some real challenges for his reelection, and that's unfortunate because Donald Trump is an unthinkable to have Donald Trump again is a nightmare for me. So, yeah, in America, we're here screwed pretty much with two very poor choices. And but
Yeah,
it's the
but
politics that are motivating Kamala Harris to say the kind of things that she's saying, which is totally cult of moral grayness. You know, there's good and evil on both sides. There's no blacks and whites here. Israel should agree to this, but if Gaza gives a coughs up a list of hostages, God.
regarding getting out of debates, I don't know. Trump has done a pretty good job of that so far in this cycle, at
Oh,
least.
of
And who
course.
knows? Who knows? Maybe he would want to debate Biden. I don't know. It would be kind of, it's one of those things that would be maybe, entertaining in a semi-nihilistic way to watch if they weren't running for leader of the free world.
Right.
Considering that they are, it'll be
Oh,
absolutely
it'd be a comedy show
terrifying.
if it weren't for the reality that one of these men is going to be the military leader of the free world at the end of the day. That's
Yeah.
what makes it grim, right?
Thank you. Did I thank Bonnie? In any case, thank you, Bonnie, for the super chat. Thank you, Mark, for the super chat. Mark says the super chat is because Razi said Raqqa. Well, I will say Raqqa many, many times if it brings in that kind of money. Maybe tomorrow, I think I will
Waka
have to say Raqqa 100 times on tomorrow's episode, and then we will have our $1,000 match. Akira mentioned several times about talked a few about the episode that Rucka and I did. I'm surprised you remember episode 89 of The Daily Objective. That is impressive on its own. He says you were both great, and then he says not at all, it was funny as hell. Then he says, what are you on, Razi? That was a great episode. Well, for legal reasons, I can't tell you what I'm on, but if you say it's a great episode, I will make sure to be prepared in the same way for the vice presidential debate later on this year.
You know, it just to watch some political debates in the United States requires Dutch courage, as some call it. A drink or two helps. That's all I can say.
By the way, that was a joke. I
And that was a
guarantee you
joke, too.
I was perfectly sober. But yeah, later on this year we will have elections in a few places that we cover here on this channel, and we do plan to have like all-nighter election coverage shows. So yeah, I might have to break the
Important,
sobriety
important
rule for.
national elections are coming up in both the United States and the United Kingdom, which could really shape the future of the West. So, as these elections do. So, I'm glad we're having that kind of coverage.
Yeah, and
It's
since we have a
important
growing
elections.
South African audience, and we have some so at least one South African friend who would definitely I think hopefully will participate on this channel, I think we're going to cover that as well. And speaking of South Africa, Michelle, who I believe is in South Africa, says this was early on in the episode, Rashida Tlaib is the American version of George Galloway. That's pretty good. You know, George Galloway, we're out of time, but I have to say this. I saw a news story about the Houthis saying, demanding something and saying they will accept it from Rishi Sunak if it's signed by George Galloway. So he's now basically the almost official representative of basically any savage in the world. Akira asks, when are Israeli elections coming? Good question. I don't know. It's not going to be before the end of this episode because that is now. Thank you, James. This is the end of the last episode of the Daily Objective with the three-figure number in the number of the episode. We will be back here tomorrow with episode 1000, and stay tuned for the reality show, which starts in a minute. Thanks. Bye.